John 17:11. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. Yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. John 17:11. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. For they are yours, and all are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. John 17:11. Colossians 1:9. We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. Children, please stand for Bible class. For us as believers, we all made a one-time decision to become a believer at the point of faith alone in Christ alone. And after that decision, we all had many, many decisions to regain fellowship so we can learn and apply the Word. And let's go ahead and take a moment to do that now. And for us, that consists of simply naming our sins to God the Father. And we are then cleansed from all sin and unrighteousness so we can continue our journey of knowing Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and do that now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day for worshiping you. We thank you for everything you have provided during this week, during our lifetime, and we know that you have much more for us. We also pray for understanding tonight so we can further grow in your plan for us. And we just thank you for everything you have done for us and will continue to do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So we are on Philippians 1:3. You can turn your Bibles there. And we just got out of the salutation of Paul to the Philippians, which covered verses 1 and 2. And we're now in verse 3, where Paul prays and expresses his gratitude for the Philippians. And I'll start reading from verse 1, and I'll read through verse 5 just to give us the complete thought of what's going on. Verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So verse 3 is where we'll begin, and I'd like to start out with the first word, which is eucharisteo, and this word is translated to thank, means to thank. In most translations, it says I thank, that's how they translate it. The Young Literal Translation reads, I give thanks, which also makes sense because it's a present tense. And this word, if you recognize it, you should, because it's also where we get our word Eucharist from, our English word Eucharist, which includes thanksgiving and what we do to give thanks to the Lord. Luke 22:17 says, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, there's our word again, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, that's verse 19, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we see that even in this verse, we have two things coming together. We have the thanksgiving and we have remembrance. So we need to keep that in mind, because our verse also has thanksgiving and remembrance in it. So the word eucharisteo is a verb. It's the first person singular, present active indicative. And here its use is the durative present. So it's a thanksgiving that began from a past event. That's where Paul's coming from with this. And it continues up through the time that Paul wrote this. So it's something that happened with the Philippians in the past, and he's now feeling this once again in the present tense. So it's a continual thing that comes up with Paul in his mind. So the meaning here of the word, it means to be thankful, like we mentioned. It also means to thank with a sense of indebtedness, a return thanks, to express an appreciation or benefits of blessing. So if you remember Paul, his circumstances are, a few of the ways he described them were being in chains, imprisoned, and that's not ideal circumstances. We know that. And we also know that he can at least somewhat freely carry on his gospel ministry. We do see that. He can freely carry on his gospel ministry. He can have some visitors. He can also receive financial support. So we see from Philippians 4:15 through 18 that one of the purposes of Paul's letter to the Philippians was to do just that, express thanks. He was there to express thanks in support. And Paul was... He's writing them to let them know that. And he'll really expand on that in chapter 4, where it says, in the early days, he's talking about the Philippian congregation. He says, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. So that gives us an idea of what they did for Paul and how much they provided. There was an abundance there. It sounds like Paul was well taken care of by one church, because he even says, no one else sent me aid. You were the only one, except you only. So, and he also says, in their participation of the gospel in verse 5, from the first day until now. So nothing but continuous support from the Philippians, from their monetary support, logistical support, and even support in the ministry. So let's go ahead and just start off with a few points. So point one, I'd mentioned earlier, if you caught it, that the word eucharisteo has a sense of indebtedness to it. Indebtedness. And this is a feeling of owing gratitude for a service or favor. This is what the dictionary definition is of indebtedness, and we'll get into this. And the thought that naturally comes to mind, or should come to our mind, when we receive or experience these types of things from others, where God is obviously superseding this, the entire operation, from the timing, which includes the year, the month, the day, the hour, down to the second, to the amount, to the size, to the people involved, to the blessing, to the need in our lives, we need to know that what should naturally come to our mind is a sense of indebtedness. Hold that thought. Point two, the only thing that should come to mind is thankfulness when we see God's grace at work through people. That's what should come to our mind. So this thankfulness for the individual person God chose to use, that's something to be thankful for. Thankfulness to those who have a divine perspective, this should be us. Have a divine perspective to be, who are able to see the opportunity to give and have that perspective from the Word of God. So those who have a gift to see a need or just want to express thanks to God by giving in general. Point three is with a perspective of grace, you realize that nothing belongs to you in the first place and that everything comes from God. So we're starting to see that God is the reason for the season. Everything really originates with God. All the blessings that we receive on this earth, whether big or small, they all come from God. So this might have slipped by you the first time. I'll repeat it. These things should come to mind. Should. They should come to mind. Okay? They should come to mind. When we experience God's grace. This is what should happen to each and every one of us. But point four says you can't see something if you can't first recognize what you're looking at. Now that's a simple but important point. You can't see something if you can't first recognize what it is you're looking at. So the more you advance in your spiritual life, the more clearly you will not only recognize God's grace, but you will come to have an attitude of thanksgiving because of it. And that's the indebtedness that I'm talking about. When we can recognize what we're seeing, God's grace, we naturally have an attitude, a desire, a thanksgiving, a gratefulness around that. But if you don't see it, guess what? You're not going to recognize it. You're not going to even know it's there. It's just another day. So, point five, if we aren't taught from the Word of God how to be thankful, then we won't ever have enough objectivity to do so. We can't do it on our own. And you see this word, I have a little bit bigger here. This word is basically made of two parts. You see the EU at the beginning means good. And then you also should see another word in here, which is charis. That's grace. That's grace. So we have a word with good and grace in it, and they're merged together. So this is literally acknowledging that God's grace is absolute good and has eternal effects for us as individuals. It's thankful for God's good grace. That's what it is. So point six, recognizing the grace of God for the believer opens the door up to greater spiritual advance and happiness, and most importantly, glorifying God. That's why we're here, right? That's why we're here, to glorify God. And when we can recognize that His grace is being poured out on us, guess what? Spiritual advance, blessings, happiness, and glorifying God and all that. So, Paul didn't ask for these things. He didn't ask for them. But guess what? He needed them. And he also knew without a doubt that God would provide them. He would. He would provide. He knew that. So, and he also knew that he'd provide him at the right time of when he needed them. He knew he had to know all this. So, when we as people are touched by this grace, and we all are, by the way. We need to recognize that, though. You have to have the correct divine viewpoint to see it. And the natural feeling should be indebtedness. And I'd like to expand on what that means, that indebtedness, because first you have to acknowledge and recognize God's grace, and secondly, respond to it in thanksgiving. So you have a recognition and a response. Those two things. And from that, we can have a deeper level of devotion to the plan of God for our life. That's really what it's all about, right there. If you recognize it, you're going farther and farther, advancing in your spiritual life and into the plan of God, because you recognize what is going on, and then all of a sudden, what happens? You have a stronger desire to grow, to continue to glorify Him. And where is it coming from? Not us. It's coming from God Himself. That's a beautiful picture. So, this is our response to God in worship, is what it is. And it boils down to a stronger desire to submit to His plan. That's what it boils down to. So we have to be open to change and also be open to no change. We have to be. We have to be open to change and open to no change. Being thankful in both cases and simply looking to further your understanding of God's plan for your life. That's when things change. But if you're open to it, that's all that counts. Because what are you doing? You're looking to further your understanding of God's plan for your life. So what happens to us is that the more we come to know Christ, the more we can be thankful for. And ultimately, we should all be thinking of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Because guess what happens? The more we come to know, the more you are thankful for. What does it say? It says right after the command to pray without ceasing, we're given another command. In verse 18, it says, in everything, give thanks. There it is. That's the command. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To give thanks in everything. Every single thing. Everything. Fully acclimated to God's desire for you. Each one of you. Total willingness to proceed in His love and a complete denial of selfishness when it comes to your course in life. Complete and total. You know, these are just words, but when we put the wheels to the road on complete denial of ourself, that's huge. That means when it comes to your current circumstances, God has, not in the future, not in the past, right now. Right now. This is what we're talking about. The right here, right now. And you know, the natural thing that comes to our minds as human beings is prosperity. Prosperity. When are things going to go the way you think they should go? That's what we're basically saying to ourselves. But this also includes adversity, is what this is talking about. Adversity. I can't make everything up. Everything falls into everything. And that is adversity. So everything. I'm reminded of when I was really young, my parents had gotten some old lumber from I don't remember what it was, but they were getting rid of it, and it was just full of nails. It was completely full of nails. And my dad had told me he wanted me to take out every single one of those nails. And I'm telling you that I hated that job. I don't remember how many times I cried because I had to go out there and take those nails out. But you know, when I got through with it, I was so glad, and I didn't realize the benefit of it until I got probably in my 30s. When you go to take out a crooked nail, bent up nail, or hit a nail in, man, that came in handy. This is what we're talking about. We don't always realize what adversity or why it's happening, but guess what? It's for your benefit. So don't kick and scream. You got to recognize why it's happening and where it's coming from. You're in the woodpile pulling nails. It's all for your own good. And nobody is the same level when it comes to recognizing and responding in thanksgiving. Some people are thankful for everything. Some people are thankful for nothing, right? And some people are in between. We're all somewhere in between. And that's normal. And I've been using this term indebtedness to mean, here's what it means. It means a natural and more concentrated response to God's plan for your life. That's the draw of your response. That's a saying, I have no other choice but to see what God has given me and say, how can I not? You know what I mean? How can I not respond to that? He put me on this earth and He's given me all these things. I mean, how can we not? We've got no other way to go. And if we do go, what are we doing? Why? You know? He only loves us and He wants the best for us. So go that way. Let Him draw you in. So it's funny how God draws us in. His love is so powerful that it causes us to willingly respond. That's power. That is power. He loves us so much that He can get us to see it and not really know it's Him and be positive to it, and He draws us in that way. And I don't know if indebtedness is a great word, because this is something you can't pay back. Grace does not have a price tag. Grace is not something you can pay back. Its value is infinite. No matter what it is that comes down the grace pipeline, whether big, small, whether it lasts for a while or not, guess what? It's priceless. It's priceless. If it's from God, it's priceless. So grace isn't earned or deserved and therefore impossible to pay back. And that's that sense of response. I have to respond to that. That's that indebtedness. And think about what other time you feel this. When Christ came to this earth, who knew no sin, took on sin on our behalves at the cross and judged them for us. This is the same response that we've been talking about that draws us to God from love and grace, but now we're talking about salvation. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him in." Draws him in. There's the word that we've really been talking about, I think. Draws him in. He draws us in His grace to recognize it. And He draws us in before that at salvation. So the word draw here means literally to pull an object from one place to another by pulling, since the object, here it is incapable of moving itself. Incapable. We can't go from point A to point B on our own. We can't respond to that without something igniting us. Can't do it. The same word is used in Acts 16:19 when Paul, remember Paul cast that demon out of the lady that was making a profit for her masters because she was a fortune teller. It says, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, and what did they do? They dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. There's that word. They dragged them. So what's happening to us is we're getting a rope, we're getting lassoed, and God is dragging us literally to His doorstep just so He can bless us. Wow. So what's amazing is that the point is that we are incapable of recognizing, acknowledging, and understanding anything related to God and the spiritual realm apart from God Himself. That's the truth right there. That should initiate a thought of humility. So can we even take credit for coming to a saving faith? Or take some credit for being used by God to draw others closer to salvation? Or even to present the message of salvation? Of course not. We can't do it. We cannot do it. He's pulling the strings. If we want more opportunity to witness, we must understand that God is responsible for the entire process, including the presentation, not us. It's not us. And when we understand this, we can relax and have maximum effectiveness. And this is what we need to understand, because we need to present the gospel. We do. We need to. But we must understand, in order to be effective, that it doesn't rely on me. As we heard, any old bush will do. And that's the truth. That is the truth. So once again, grace, all grace is directed to God. So when we receive grace in this world, this should motivate us to continue our growth in grace and knowledge, so we can all become instruments of God's grace. That should be our motivation. We all know 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's our imperative. That was our imperative, to grow in our understanding of grace so that we can become more effective right there. It says, to Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So you can't be an instrument of grace until you understand grace. You can't do it. Grace is taking ourselves out of the equation. We're just an implement. We're just a tool. I'm making you sleepy. So you've got to understand grace. And that should be our goals. Whether it's your personal time, your money, your possessions, the people around you, your job, your spouse, your family, whatever lot in life that you have, wherever you find yourself, we should be able to see the grace of God and be thankful for it. Everything. Everything. God loves you that much. He provided it all, and guess what? He can take it away. He can take it away. People so easily forget that He provides and He can take it away. And until we understand that, none of it depends on what we do or don't do, then you can't take part in understanding the wonderful blessings of being an instrument of God's grace. You can't do it. It's not about what I do. It's not about what you do. It's about letting a response happen naturally from the Word of God. Let Him guide you. Let Him show you. Let Him give you the words. Let Him put the people in your lives. Don't force it. It doesn't have to be forced. He puts the schedule. We just sit back and kick back and wait on Him to do His work. He's moving the chess pieces. So Paul says it right here. Well, first of all, how can we even come near to paying this back? How can we? We got to ask ourselves that, don't we? Well, we kind of been talking about that. Paul says it right here, though, in our verse. Who is he thanking? Not the Philippians. He says, I thank my God. That's who he's thanking. Notice where his orientation is going back to God. Just as Paul's doing right here. Right back to God. So the result of the correct orientation of God is Paul's willing obligation to be obedient to the plan of God. And with obedience comes humility and the capability to be thankful. So you grow to have the ability to recognize grace at every corner. That's what we're talking about. So to be able to recognize and enjoy God's workings in your life will give you, listen to this, if you recognize it, it'll give you joy, peace, contentment, and even excitement about life. Excitement. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not. It's exciting if you can recognize it. And it also gives us optimism in our souls. Optimism. Optimism about tomorrow. We're optimistic. Now, does this mean you won't have any problems or difficulties? Not in this fallen world, it doesn't. Not going to happen. And we can't expect that. We just can't expect that. Can't do it. But we can expect a continuous flow of grace. That's what we can expect. Continuous flow. And if we have any interest in who's given it, guess what? Which is God. Then we will dedicate and devote our entire lives to Him. We will. When we recognize that, what do we do more? Devote more time. Respond. He's setting us up. We're just getting caught in His trap, and that's a good thing. So He's setting us up for response. And guess what we do every time we sit and listen to the pastor teach, whether in person or online? You're responding. You're responding when you do that, when I do that. That's responding. That's our motivation. So next we have a preposition, epi. It's usually translated upon, but here it's in the dative case, and it's translated because of. It has a causal sense to it. So we can say, I continually give thanks to my God because of all my remembrance of you. And remember, the continually comes in from the present tense. And I wanted to look at this word remembrance here before we end. So the word means remembrance or memory. It's a noun. And, you know, obviously Paul, he has very pleasant memories of the Philippians. He loved them very much, and we can see that from this letter. But we've got to ask ourselves, why were they such a pleasant and sweet memory in Paul's mind? Well, we talked about that a little bit, but this goes a lot farther than something that they gave or something that they did. Psalm 145, 7 says, "They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness." So the word righteous, or the word for goodness here is tuv. And it means to, listen to this, it means to the very best qualities of a person. It means the very best qualities of a person. What brings out the very best qualities in us? Well, it says it in the second half of the verse. "And will shout joyfully of your righteousness." Will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Guess what we all have? Genesis 15:6 says it. We have God's righteousness. God's very own righteousness. Not just good, but abundant good. This is speaking about divine good from a position of strength under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's explained in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. This is your entire spiritual life. Sanctification in your spiritual life. Not positional sanctification, your experiential sanctification of your Christian way of life. This is molding of your righteousness throughout your life. And the only way to have an abundant amount of divine good is to what? Grow to spiritual maturity. The more you grow up, the more effective you become, which also means you have the capability to always be a blessing to others. Always. Always. This is what Paul's remembering. When we get around people, what kind of memory are we? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. How do people remember me? Do they remember me by complaining? Do they remember me by always asking them for something? Do they remember me by fill in the blank? You see what I'm saying? Blessing. Always a blessing. And this is the sweet memory left by the mature believer in other people's lives. And we should all strive for that. We should. We want to be a blessing. But guess what? We all aren't at some point in our lives. And we won't be at some point in our lives. But that's what we should desire to do. And that's what we have the potential to all do the majority of the time. Be a blessing. We can't do that on our own. Can't do it on our own. So when we think of time spent with these kinds of people, we have thanksgiving to God because of the blessing by association that God produces in them to us through them. That's from their maturity. That's from their maturity, their love for God. And it leaves a sweet fragrance in your memory of them. Nothing but blessing. Listen to Proverbs 10:7. It says, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the reputation of the wicked will rot." It will rot. What does that mean? You're not going to remember the wicked. What lasts? The righteous, the blessing, the divine good, the person that's filled with the Holy Spirit consistently. They're glorifying God in your presence. That's what you're going to remember. So we got to ask ourselves, what kind of memory am I leaving in others? What are they remembering about me? Or will your reputation rot and fade away, be forgotten by others? And part of this includes what we mentioned. Complaining, gossiping, running down others, always looking to one-up others, always out of fellowship. You know, this stuff gets old. And when you're growing spiritually, you really don't want to be around that. I mean, you know, we all have to have compassion and mercy. And I understand that. And that's part of impersonal love. But if you're not seeing a change and that person doesn't want to change, so these memories will rot. We don't want to be thought of like that. We should all strive to be a blessing in other people's lives. Whenever we see them, and some people you see every day, like spouses, coworkers, family, friends, you should have a desire to be a blessing every single time. And we can only do that through being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, and with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. By you staying in fellowship, producing divine good, and growing spiritually is the only way you're ever going to be a blessing 100% of the time. So I think next time we'll be able to make it to verse 4. So that's encouraging. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for showing us, leading us by the hand, and showing us what all this means, and then that you have a meaning behind it, and it's so powerful. And I just thank you for allowing us to see it, enjoy it, run in it, and just kick back and watch you work in it. Thank you so much for that. And most importantly, thank you for salvation. For anyone that has never had the opportunity to think about it, or has maybe wondered about it, we just would like them to know that salvation does not depend on us. You've provided the benefit. You've provided Jesus Christ. He came to this earth. He died on a cross for our sins. It's been paid for. The deal has been made. The penalty has been paid. Every sin was imputed to Jesus Christ for the entire human race. And because of that, we now have the opportunity to simply accept it as a free gift. That's what salvation is. It's by grace through faith. That is not of ourselves, so that we cannot boast about it. You left it to us for free. And the ball is in our court. And all that you ask of us is that we believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. And at that moment, you are eternally saved and in God's family forever. That's grace. Talk about a memory. Thank you so much for your blessings. We ask for your safety. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, because you help me. soul clings to you, and your hand upholds me. You alone. You alone.